Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready? Say yeah!
Alafia, greetings, Hotep. You have your Omika 7 in the house, live coming to you straight from my living room. I am the advocate you need and the advisor you want. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you. I'd like to say habari gani to my old friend, what's up? And to my new friends, I say we make new friends but keep the old, because one means silver and the other gold. How is everyone doing this night? How is the African family? And how are the children? As I told you earlier, we know if the children are doing well, the concept of the family advancing and prospering is in place when the children are doing well. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we have a fantastic show for you this evening. We're going to be talking about that homework. That's right. Did you think I would forget? That's right. I asked you twice to do homework. I haven't heard from anyone yet. The first homework I asked you to do was to research the Christian Crusades and what happened during that time. Somebody come in and talk about it. You can dial that number at 646-478-0270. And I also gave you the 10 things that will prevent you from rising up to be a god yesterday, and to talk about what it is you could do to advance yourself in developing to a god. What could you do to enhance the progress of developing to a god? Now, today's subject is what is the sorrows of a set? And we're going to talk about the sorrows of a set and just what were those sorrows and what was he having remorse about. Remember what I indicated earlier, a child does not necessarily need to be physically whipped in order to have remorse. Once the child experiences remorse and demonstrates that he has been reproved, he need not be physically handled. He can then talk about the fact that his remorsefulness has caused him to have a change of heart because of the consequences and repercussions that are involved in all of the problems for covering up lies, fallacies, or talking about correcting things. Sometimes young people don't understand that the parents are whipping the flesh to break it down, to bring it to remorsefulness, to repentance. The flesh is very strong, and it will rise up at you. It will curse you. It will call you all manners of man. That's the flesh talking in a child or an adult. And that flesh needs to be brought up under subjection. That is the purpose of drawing a bow to a child, to whip the child or to correct the child. But if the child has enough sense to experience remorse while in the midst of his sorrow, like our set did, then you need not physically whip them. Then their repentance is truly, at hand. Now, what about adults? What do we have to do to have repentance truly at hand? We have to be remorseful, sorry for our sin, regretful, not because we got caught, not because somebody knew, but because it offends God. It offends our very soul and our very being. We don't want to be offensive to God, so therefore we have to understand and remember who we are sharing this vessel with. And if you are sharing the vessel with God and you understand omnipresent, you know God is present all the time. There's nothing hidden from God. No, nothing hidden from God, the God that dwells inside of you. Now remember, the God up in the sky, the God that rules the heavens, he has no concern with man. He is not watching you every minute of the hour, but Ori is. So therefore, you don't sin because you think you might not get caught. You don't sin because you don't want to offend your God that lives within inside of you. I believe that. This is according to Omi. This is not according to any book or scripture. You can sin unto death. You can sin so much that you grieve the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can shut down, be non-responsive, or possibly even leave you. And some of us have grieved the Holy Spirit to that point. And we don't feel spiritual. We don't say or think that God is with us because we have perturbed the heart of the God that lives within us. And that God has physically decided not to dwell with you. Because he cannot live in an unclean vessel, ladies and gentlemen. It's okay when we make a mistake, but do not sin against God. It's okay to stand in the need of prayer, but to sin and to know you're sinning and to do something and know you're doing, it's pure sin. And guess what? The Bible speaks against that. Your mutilated book says that you can sin unto death, meaning sin can make you sick. So those who are all burned down with all these diseases and illness, don't think that it's not because of their sin. Don't think that God just let these things come upon them. The Bible says you sin unto death. Now, we're going to talk about it today because our set did something wrong that he felt sorry for. Sorry don't mean nothing. You can be sorry till the cows come home. You can be sorry just because you got caught and somebody saw you. But you have to come to full repentance and say, I repent. I am sorry. Please help me to live a better life. It's nothing wrong with us being able to be honest before the Godhead who lives within inside of us. And you have to go and confess it. You have to confess your sins to someone. You just can't keep it a secret and say, I'm going to just tell God about it. No. It requires an outwardly expression of confession. Confession is good for the soul, ladies and gentlemen. Once we confess, we are free. At that point, the remorse has come upon us. We vow in our heart that we will not do that thing or it again or see that person or be with that person or act in that way. Ladies and gentlemen, character and conduct, iwapelu, means everything to God. He don't care how many tithes you pay. He don't need your money. He don't care how many cakes you bake for the church and how many chicken fried dinners you make. He wants your vessel to be holy so he can live there, so he can dwell there. He cannot dwell in an unclean spirit. He will not do that. It is against his law. You show me a person that is sinning, I'll show you a person that's without God. Because God will not dwell in that unclean spirit. First, you must be true to thine own self, ladies and gentlemen. Confess it with your mouth. And then ask someone to forgive you. And then forgive yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back at you in the air. I'm going to get those drums coming out here because we love the drums and we know we can't do nothing without the drums. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, for station identification. Can we get a drum roll? Here come those drummers, ladies and gentlemen. Don't they sound so nice? Ladies and gentlemen, but before we do that, we're going to bring on the power of faith because we know it is the power of faith that gives us the ability to sustain from doing sin against our very flesh.
Every day, from the moment I keep faith in our hearts when it seems
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to read you a little segment from The First Light. It's a woman's daily devotional journal. And I found a piece in here that was so fitting under the topic of obedience. And it reads, the boy had been misbehaving. The mother whispered, sit down and behave yourself. The boy sat down. I may be sitting down on the inside, he said. He muttered inside of himself, but I'm still standing up on the inside, the external existence. Let me read that again. The boy had been misbehaving. The mother whispered, sit down and behave yourself. The boy sat down, and he said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but he murmured, but I'm still standing up on the inside. External resistance does not necessarily reflect internal obedience. We can do all the right things, but the Lord is interested in something a little less obvious. God wants not to just have our submission, but our hearts. Keeping God's status as is important to be sure of it. But the motivation behind the obedience is the key to the godliness, ladies and gentlemen. The biblical obvious is a matter of outward appearance. But the outward reality, if we obey God's will, standing up on the inside, our obedience means nothing. The multitude of our sacrifice, what are they to me? God said, stop bringing meaningless offerings, he said. They have become a burden to me, he repeats. I am weary of hearing them. In Isaiah 1:11-13:14, God wants not just outward obedience, but a heart softened to the divine will, a spirit that acknowledges that God not only has the right to our obedience, but knows what is best for us and can lead us. Obedience in the inner soul is based not on fear, but on love. True love casts without fear, is what Omi says. Because we love God, we seek to obey. Because we know God loves us, we can trust that what the Lord asks of us will not be too difficult for us and will result in our goodness. The secular world often mocks what is called blind obedience. In religious people, but obedience is not blind. Even when it cannot understand God's reason, it trusts God's character. Obedience sees with the heart that God is good and thus submits itself to one to who is wiser and stronger and more faithful. This was written by Jay Strokes. It's a sample word of wisdom, 52 virtues by every woman. What I want to say behind that, ladies and gentlemen, is defiantness is not a virtue of God. When you do something with defiant in your heart, and even though you seek to do it to please that person outwardly, and you have not made an inwardly change, then you need not have done it at all because you still have sinned. So it's very important for us to know that we are going to have to be very, very cautious of the fact that God wants our obedience, and God also wants us to come into repentance. God wants us to understand that once we have sorrow and repent for the things we're doing, he then will step in. And that way, if you take two steps towards the Creator, he will take two steps towards you. It's very important that we should remember that, ladies and gentlemen. Let me go on with the ritual today for the purification. And as you know, we must get purified, and we must clean ourselves up. We cannot greet God with a stale face. Can I greet God with a stale face? I'm getting ready to pour libation. As I pour libations to the west, I say ashe. I pour libations to the east, I say ashe. I pour libations to the north, I say ashe. I pour libations to the south, ashe. And we pour water to the ground so that when the word falls to the ground, it will not fall upon stony ground, but it will take root and spring up and grow. May the word spring up and grow in you. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you are standing to your feet now as we get ready for the talking cure. You can take that list of names out of your loved ones so that you can call out your ancestors' names. As we stand to our feet, we are standing on holy ground. And know that the ancestors are with us. They have never left us. We need only to call their names, to acknowledge them, and to pay homage to them. If you have not already started to pay homage to your ancestors and you would like to set up this shrine, then I would urge you to do so. It is not a mandatory thing. It's not a homework assignment, but it's truly up to you. As we begin to quiet ourselves, taking deep breath, we ask the Creator to come inside of us and to free us of any undead work where we have offended ourselves against the Creator. We ask God to take control in being stronger than us and being more wise than us. We ask Him to allow us to partake of fellowship that we have with our Godhead on the inside of us. Lord, teach us to be honest with ourselves most of all, and teach us to rely upon You in times of trouble where we don't know whose knowledge to lean upon. Help us not to lean upon our own wisdom, but to rely upon Your wisdom, because we do share bodies with You. We can collaborate with You at any time, asking Your opinion or a second opinion. Lord, we know that we're flesh and we're vulnerable, and we know that we are apt to sin because of our very flesh. But help us to be reminded we are to kill the old man every day. We have to beat down the desires. We have to beat down the desires of the flesh, and letting the flesh know that we are a spirit, but we are in control. Letting the flesh know we are flesh and we are in control. Help us to see that it is truly You that is with us, You who is guiding us. We pray that You will give us the direction for our life. Let's take deep breaths in and out. I will synchronize my vital signs with Yours as You synchronize Yours with me. Taking deep breaths, ladies and gentlemen, as we begin to synchronize our vital signs, we ask that the God that lives within inside of us will show up. He will be a part of our everyday life. And as we take the deep breaths, meditating on pure energy, God is radiant energy inside of us. We know that He is not visible to us because He is pure energy. We feel the presence of God at all times and know that He or she has not left us. Let us send some of that energy out into the atmosphere to heal the loved ones who are disconnected from themselves. As we seek to find better ways to live with ourselves, Father, help us to be able to go to sleep at night without the sorrow or the heavy burden of what we did or didn't do in our lives. Help us to be honest about how we live our lives so that we will not be ashamed and remorse and sorrow will not come upon us for what we've done throughout the day. Help us to be quick to repent and be quick to fall to our knees and ask for forgiveness. Lord, we know we fall short, but we can do better, Lord. We know that we can stop and think, what will God do, and make a different decision. We know that it's important that we do not sin against this body because God lives there. It's very important that we do not put material things and have a burning desire for them, because that is to sin to have anything before our God. Knowing that we want to be pleasing to God and knowing that God is a jealous God, so anything that we might put before Him, be it material things, it might be a mistake. Help us to understand that we must realize character, good conduct is in order. Show us the way. Show us the way, Master. You're the way shower and the guiding light give us a light. I call forth the light today to place before my mother's spirit, and I call my mother's people. I sit a glass of water before my mother, her family, so that they may be fully quenched of their thirst. I set a light in front of my father and light the candle, that the guided light may bring his family members home. I set a glass of water that his family members' thirst may be quenched as well. And I say, Ashe. I call on Robert Dinkins, Ashe. I call on Clara Spirit, Ashe. Clara May Dinkins, Ashe. I call on Tommy Pete Harvey, and I say, Ashe. I call on the name of George Lilly, Ashe. Sam Lilly, Ashe. Eugene Son Lilly, Ashe. Marvin Jenkins, Ashe. Robert Jr. Jenkins, Ashe. I call on Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. Lucille Day, Ashe. Ludell James, Ashe. I call on Louise Lord, Ashe. Bessie Lilly, Ashe. Isa Lilly, Ashe. Nisha Lilly, Ashe. Ruby Lilly, Ashe. Emmanuel Day, Ashe. Lucille Day, Ashe. Call on Elijah Day, Ashe. Avery Day, Ashe. I call on the name of Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. Michael Harvey, Ashe. And Michelle Harvey, Ashe. I say, so be it, so let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, you are standing on holy ground. You are standing on holy ground. The frequency level is there. It's available to you. So tap in to the frequency level. Remembering that we are trying to transform from glory to glory. As we acknowledge the 29 days to transition in ourselves, to become a master. Let us be reminded that the old man must be killed off. The old man with bad character. The old man with bad credibility. The old man that's a liar. The old man that's a cheat, a thief. We are going to put those things under subjection. We are going to trample them out. Because spirit has a stronger power. And where spirit is, there's liberty. The liberty will manifest itself in this room. And let it permeate your living rooms, your household, and let it permeate those jail cells so that remorse will come upon those victims who need to repent. And if there is a time to repent, repenting time is near, so that we can get straight and get right in our spirit, so that we can become a master over ourselves with God residing with us. Help us to understand that we're God's now, Lord, and that we cannot reside with God if we are not living up to the credibility. Help us to understand that our character is being called upon and that we're going to be judged every day and that our hearts should be found to be as light as a feather. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that we are fighting against not only flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places. Help us to root up and pull down those principalities that exhaust themselves against the will of God. We now know that we are the little g with the small head full of wisdom, but you are not the God. We are a God, little children, but not the God that created the universe. And help us to understand that we do not even commune with the God that created the universe, only our own personal God. Help us to come into oneness with that God. Help us to work on one accord for the benefit of the causes of the movement and the struggle. Help us to understand that there's always a struggle right now with the Africans, and we are to be about that struggle of making a change. Help us to be able to see that new African Renaissance. Help us to be able to see the United States of Africa come to pass as we work towards that cause. We thank you, ancestors, that you allow us to stand on your shoulders, and it's your shoulders that allow us to advance ourselves to the next level as we go from glory to glory, manifesting ourselves into God-like character. Dear God, little children, we have overcome the world. I am whole and I am free, ladies and gentlemen. And we are going to get right into our subject and our subject matter this evening that we're going to be talking about is the sorrow of Aset. Now, what is the sorrow that Aset had and why was he sorry for what he had done? We're going to find out in just a minute. Stay tuned. We're going to get right into the subject matter today. And if you do have that homework, you can turn that in by going to the email. And if any of you would like to call in to discuss that homework, we will definitely be going over that homework. If you call in, we will go over it as we go through it. Now, we stopped with the sixth sphere yesterday. I just want to cover a little bit about the sixth sphere. It is, and I'm reading from page 207 in Ron and Nefer's book, Metanetra number two. It is our identification with our person and its fallacies that causes us time to avoid suffering loss or to seek gain, even if we must do so, at the expenses of others. This is the essence of injustice. A list must be made of all the scenarios and situations in which you behave or have described above. There are variations of heteru, theme of detachment from the person is the ruthless opposition of ourselves to the desire and conditioning of the lower part of being. Many people fail to realize that a law of their being frame in the fifth sphere demands this instead. They seek a chemical way out, as the use of diet pills and cigarettes, patches, or etc., in order to overcome habits solely through the hypotherapy or subliminal messages, and so on. We are here learning that you have to engage in all 10 aspects of your being in order to change your life. One of them, heteruti, is a ruthless and resolute opposite to the habit. A list must be made, ladies and gentlemen, of the scenarios and situations in which you fail to force yourself to follow your will and seek some way to erase this particular habit. Heteruti also corresponds to the source of divine justice. Believe in God includes the realization that just will be protected. Let me put on earphones here so I can have hands-free. If you just bear with me for 1 second, I want to pause. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. I hope you can hear me. All right. Now, this segment of the show is a little foggy. I'm using new equipment today, ladies and gentlemen. Not that I'm showing off. I'm trying to get hands-free here so I can have some hands available. Now, let me go on. Heteruvitas sphere. In every individual exists a faculty that gives the freedom to ignore the emotional and sensual impulses from the animal sphere. This is symbolized by Heru. It does not take much observation to see that the vast majority of people have abandoned their freedom to choose their course of action to the animal within. To the animal within? Is there an animal living inside of us only? Of course there is. One that is vicious, one that is vulgar, and one that will take over. It is a takeover spirit. It dictates their choice and conduct in diet, matting, government, mating, government, personal relationships, and so on, as discussed in previous chapters. They mistake the impelling forces of emotion for compulsions. The assault man goes on as far as the evolution and the animal's impulses as signs of law and honesty. The accelerate and skip heartbeat, heat frustration, and arousal experiences as the body is prepared for sex are taken as evidence of being in love. And the expressions of how one feels and takes a speaking truth, being honest, and guidance for action. A list must be made, ladies and gentlemen, of all the scenarios and situations in which you give up your freedom to decide your life to the dictate of the animal part of being. In other words, your animal part is acting up. You must dictate who will be running the show. Will it be spirit or will it be the lower part of your being? The opposite is equally to importance. Some people violate the freedom of choosing and choice in giving them by natural rule. Man cannot develop into a divine being if he or she is compelled to live his life in truth. We must recognize that although we have the freedom to choose in all situations, we do not have the right to violate God's laws. We must make the time to acquaint ourselves with the divine plan, master the holistic model of thought, and develop ourselves into a Godhead, the likeness of God in which we are made, instead of following a human-born agenda of life. That means instead of following our wicked flesh. A list must be also made of all the scenarios and situations in which you violate the above laws of life. And it goes on, and Ron goes on to say, another way of looking at the wheel is in our faculties of freedom. The concerns we have to rule as our chief means of controlling and transcending our emotions. All emotional manifestation involves the induction of tension in some part of the body. In most cases, the tension involves the lifting of the chest, which renders breathing shallow and throws it off the rhythm. This leads to the hyperventilation, which throws the person into a state of a trance. This is when you're angry, ladies and gentlemen, when you're yelling and venomous and screaming, it throws you into a trance. You're out of your mind, causing distortion in thinking and perception. The correct response to the negative tension and abnormal breathing pattern we call emotion, shyness, hysteria, passion, anger, sexual arousal, fear, etc., is to ignore the actions suggested by our thoughts in such states, and we're allowable to do just the opposite. As paying attention to the suggested response increases the tension, we should focus our attention on relaxing our bodies and breathing deeply. Let's take a deep breath and breathe with me now. I'll synchronize my vital signs with yours, and we'll breathe. Breathing in oxygen and clarity, and breathing out frustration and confusion. Deeply slowing and rhythmizing our breaths. A list must be made of all the scenarios and situations in which you allow the tension called emotion to become established and guide your behavior instead of relaxing and regulating your breathing. Tell someone to regulate their breathing and stop venoming and screaming and yelling, and take control. Heru is also the faculties of circumspectrum. We are liable for not taking the time to develop the ability to look at the various issues that shape a situation and for not learning to enjoy all of our mental faculties in inspection of issues. Every item in life must be looked at from the perspective of the imagination sphere. Number 7, eloquently and logical faculties. Number 8, the analytical faculties. Now, let me go into the sorrow that was noted by our set. Due to, and it says here on page 219, due to the nature of trance, in which the will tends to be vacated, and if invoked too strongly, it tends to awaken the state of trance. It is highly recommended that those meditations be performed with the assistance of a friend. Best, of course, is someone of good character. Don't just do meditation with anybody of any character. Make sure they have good character and good conduct. Iwapelo, whom you trust, and definitely someone who is also going through this initiation. Besides being a great assistance to the meditation process, it will add the depth and the meaning of friendship and marriage. If your partner is your spouse, the helpmate will assist by cueing you to perform your visualization, remind you of the situation of your visualization, reminding you to chant and to say and to stay focused, etc. He or she should speak slowly, calmly, and not too much. Before assisting anyone, helpmate must perform the meditation so as to know from experience what it is to be done. Appendix number B. For additional instructions for giving assistance, you may go to appendix number B. Now, the assignment number 2 is on the sorrow of ascent. This is going to be your assignment, ladies and gentlemen. You are going to go into a trance. Now, remember, this is optional. No one is mandated to do this. Now, remember, I also said you cannot be on any controlled substance. You cannot be taking any marijuana, drinking alcohol, because if you're doing these things, you need not bother to be a part of the trance or initiate. And it goes on, and you can get your own book on page 219, and it reads here, and it says, you go into a trance, allowing yourself to take deep breaths, and relive no more than 10 incidents of the scenarios that we talked about in which you are controlled by your emotion. Things that make you go, wow. Things that make you act out. These 10 things that cause you to lose control, and you lose it, and make yourself experience deep sorrow, such as lying. Some people realize that when they tell the first lie, they have to tell another lie to make up for the first. And then they go into deep sorrow, and they become repentful and go into depression. Look at some of those objects. The sorrow for impeding the God within from raising to the foreground of your life. Anything that impedes you from developing into that God and advancing yourself could be one of these scenarios. You want to go into a deep breathing and go allow yourself to go into a trance with the Hectoru. And as you begin to go into a trance, once in a trance, try to relive all of these things that you have done or have had remorse about. And number 3, see yourself indulging in the incorrect behavior as a result of which the asar, number 4, says the asar falls dead at your feet. Realize that your person is Set, who has killed asar. This is a scenario they're giving. Now, number 6, see a Set weeping for him and join her or him during the sorrow. Make yourself weep as well. This is important as it is to your way of expressing remorse for what you have done. Now, this is a scenario with Asar looking at what Aset has done with remorse in their heart and weeping, and they're allowing you to go through the same remorse and regret. And note, it says in appendix number C, for illustrations of the image of Aset and Asar. For lack of better examples, this is just one. You can choose your own example if you like. You may find making yourself cry awkward. It's very awkward to you. What you have to understand is that such respect actions as crying, laughing, sighing, snarling, and so on are not merely expressions of emotional state. They are automatic reflexes generated by the body to relieve tension, sorts of exhaustion bowels. Most people gradually build up a chronic state of tension that goes unattached and mistaken the normal state of being, crying in trance, excuse me, the sorrow of a set. The ritual is the chief means of removing the chronic tension caused by the failure to feel remorse for knowing and doing wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, it sounds like to me, when somebody just keeps on sinning and they don't have a chance to look back to correct anything, they develop a callus for sin. The more sin they do, the better they get at it, and they keep going. But what they're telling you here is that they want you to have some remorse and to allow yourself to cry and have repentance. Most people gradually build up the chronic state of tension that goes with it, okay? The crying in a trance, the sorrow of a sex ritual, is the chief means of removing the chronic tension caused by the failure to feel remorse from knowing and doing wrong. This tension is created by the conflict between the self and the conscious and the person. Now, it sounds like the flesh is having a fight with the spirit because someone is in conflict, whereas the spirit is trying to let the flesh know that they are aware of the behavior and they do not want to repeat this behavior. The ritual aids for the meditation are essential. Oil, composed of two parts, myrrh to one part spearmint. Now, this is an example they're giving. And the white cloth, it is imperative that this oil must not be used for any other purpose. Now, this is an example it's given. Later on, the mere sense of imagining of it will recall the feeling of remorse in any situation. Now, check this out, ladies and gentlemen. Here you are at the scene. You're having remorse, and you're visualizing a set who had killed his brother, and he's having remorse, so you're having remorse. At that scene, you then began to utilize essential oils that are placed in a cloth. The cloth and the oil is only a drawing point to remind you that every time you smell this essential oil, it reminds you of the remorse that you had. The ritual, it goes on to say, the ritual aids for this meditation are an essential oil composed of two parts myrrh to one part spearmint. This is what they've mixed up. The white cloth, it is imperative that the oil must not be used for any other purpose. Later on, the mere scent of imagining of it will recall the feeling of remorse in any situation. The meditation must be done for 21 adjacent days without failure, beginning at the new moon. The following seventh day of the lunar cycle must be used to examine the effectiveness of your work. See below, it says, regarding the objectives of the ascent stage of initiation. It must also be used to prepare the scenario for the next month meditation. Since you are likely to have more than 10 scenarios to work on, it will take you several months to complete this stage of initiation. Do not be in a hurry to complete the stage, as it is to the foundation of the work that you are doing. In general, the stage of initiation should take about 3 to 6 months. The meditation must be done between 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Avoid eating at least 3 hours prior to the meditation. This is a whole layout, ladies and gentlemen. If you're trying to take those 10 scenarios that you've been sorrowful for, and put them in a category so that you use a mindset of remembering and recalling the remorse based on a point of contact, which was the oil. And I don't know how best that you could put this then, other than when you've done something shameful, creating a point of contact of some form of ritual, some form of product that you can smell would remind you of the stench that might be in your nostrils from that sin, reminding you that you have been remorseful for what you did. Now, what this book was trying to lay out for you, ladies and gentlemen, is how to overcome the sins of your flesh so that you won't go back to them again. And over 29 days, hopefully you can master these things. This is a book, I'm telling you, and I'm offering a disclaimer, it's for anyone to take up a study, and you can take that study up yourself. What I would like for you to do is come back in the room and talk about it and share your experiences with the audience and let us know how things work out for you. This is an optional project, of course, for anyone who would like to be a part of it. We are opening up our airline to make it possible for you to come in to discuss your outcomes and what you found to be truthful for you when you went through your remorseful state and trying to eliminate bad behaviors. Remember that this is something you do independently on your own. And as you make the progress up the tree of the ladder of spiritualism, you will become better and better at developing ways of having good character and good conduct. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to end now. And as I told you, do your soft sorrow. Maybe you'll be able to come into this room and talk to me a little bit about how you overcame some sorrows that you put before you, found a focal point to focus in on so that you could subject yourself to those errors and make the change in your life and become more like a God. I'd like to thank you for going all the way with me this evening. You've been a pleasure to work with. I look forward to seeing you on tomorrow. Maybe you can come in with your questions and answers. You want to lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. I want you to keep it right there, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it right there. Don't move that dial. Keep it right there, because we're going to be back here same time, same place tomorrow. And remember, Kwanzaa is on its way, ladies and gentlemen, and we don't want to forget to go out and start doing our shopping now. And please remember to let your dollar circulate more than one time in your own community. Let's go out of here with Umoja.
Umoja is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Emoja is a message, and we've got to get the message to our brothers and sisters. Ladies and gentlemen, we are getting that message out today, and we're thanking you so much for being a part of our segments and trying to work your way up the tree of life. This is an effort to make us into better initiates and eventually to become a master. You're on your way, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you for going all the way with Omi. You need to give yourself a pat on the back because we're halfway through this initiation. And as you remember the remorse that Aset had against Asah, you think about all the things that you have done wrong, go back and go into a trance, a deep sleep, and try and remembering those things that you wish you had done differently, having remorse in your heart and having repentance in your heart can allow you to master that character trait and get over that situation so that you will not repeat it again. You must understand that faculties must be overcome and changed in order for you to go to the next level. If you're trying to relieve yourself of lying and having habitual habits of stealing, these are the types of tools you want to use. You cannot legislate morality. You cannot legislate these things, ladies and gentlemen. You must go into the deep spirit realm to alleviate these problems so that you'll have remorse in your heart and you can begin to look at Asah's and Aset's sorrows and have remorse and repentance. This is what allows your faculties to grow and to develop. As you train, change your spirit from glory to glory, you overcome those lower parts of your being and you go into having good character and good conduct. That's what we want for all of the world, is to develop good morals and good conduct. We know that everyone has not been taught well, but you can come in this room and find out how you can be an overcomer and how you can become a master and use our initiate skills and purchase books to be a better person. Now, it's not always going to take a book, but sit down with yourself and quiet yourself and have a relationship with the Creator that lives on the inside of you, knowing that you don't want to offend God. You recognize He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, so you cannot do anything outside of God and think you're going to get away with it. You must understand you share this body with the Creator. You want to keep it clean. You want to keep it kept. You do not want to lie or sin against God. You want to live righteous, Lord. Hopefully, that with God's help, we can do this. And as we travel up the tree of life, let us do it together and let us help one another and bring one another to repentance and acknowledge the faults and the sin so that the sin will not beset us. Once again, I say congratulations. You're halfway through. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. And this season is it's a reason for the season, and it's here, ladies and gentlemen. Christmas is around the corner. Kwanzaa, too. So you want to get that shopping list out and get out there and start shopping and get ready, because you know when Christmas comes around, we're going to have the Christmas carols going on in here, the singing and the dancing. So come back tomorrow to join us again, same time, same place, and we're going out of here with the drums, ladies and gentlemen. Get in line and line up so we can step on out of here with the drums, ladies and gentlemen. Line up, line up, line up. And I say baba booey to you, y'all. Have a good evening, and oh, Donna.